Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
You said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team too. Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know, we can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the SIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal.
That's the sound of silence or some sort of big boom that starts up the Sports Hub. Welcome on in. This is the show, which, of course, is a daily one, Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. We call it the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. I'm David Tewksbury, alongside co-host Matt McClure, as the Cobra will be here with us for about a half an hour or so, as he's going to be live, local, and on location coming up next hour and the hour after that out at Great Clips here in the Hub City. And,
yeah,
you really don't need one terribly. I, on the other hand, definitely need to get mine cut. But yeah, maybe you can do a Hub City Radio first. You know, call the action over there, and while you're getting a new do.
Yeah, well, my parents think I, or at least my mom thinks I need a haircut. So there's that.
Eh, moms are never right about anything.
It's a little bit on the longer side. So yeah, I was just gonna say you usually go to Great Clips, right, to get your haircut.
Typically, yeah. Yeah, there's a guy that does my hair. He's done an outstanding job the last two times out. So, you know, it's not, I don't really have a lot. You know, I don't have an incredible physique. I don't have a six-pack. You know, I don't have the most incredible smile. My hair is typically all I've got. So that's one thing I don't want to get screwed up.
Yeah, and I just do the standard haircut. Yeah. I'll tell you what. It's the shaves on the back and the sides, and then scissors on top. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty easy haircut. Can't really mess it up, but it does look good. I like styling the hair a little bit when I can. And I got a little product.
Sure.
So I do that from time to time. I used to rock a buzz, man.
Really?
Yeah. I used to have a buzz for like a one all the way around for probably all of high school and the start college. I was a buzz guy.
Would not have anticipated that. That's kind of interesting. Kind of unique. Yeah, I've always been kind of high and tight for the most part. With the exception of high school, I was kind of the mop hair high school kid. You know, when you put the baseball hat on, you had the wings kind of out the side.
Yep.
I used to have that a little bit, but I feel like most high school kids had that back in the day, and I was certainly no different. Then I got to college, and I wanted to get into the TV side of things, and I thought, this is not going to play on TV. So I just went with the short on the sides and kind of the up a little bit in the front, and I've never gone back. It's been over a decade, and it's all reliable for yours truly.
Yeah, well, I've been rocking the same haircut now for about 5 or 6 years, so I'm in that same boat. But, yeah, some days, like a day like today, if I'm outside, I miss the buzz. I got to tell you, sometimes I'm like, oh, man, maybe I should just buzz it off. Yeah, it's too hot out there. But during the winter, you need a little hair, that's for sure.
Got to have a little bit of coverage, no question about it. Then you get the bald head, which, of course, includes lots of sunburn. If you do that, you know, it's not buzz and bald are two different things, but nevertheless, hear all about it today on all Hub City Radio family of stations at 11 a.m. and 12 p.m. and Fox Sports Aberdeen included. Coming up towards the quarter past the hour mark, Wade Royer, he'll be joining us live in studio, pole vault head coach for your Northern State University track and field squads, as he is headed overseas for a really, really fun discussion. And we'll have that, well, for an event, I should say, but we're going to have a fun discussion with him coming up here in about 10 minutes or so. Aberdeen Smitties, they were in the mix there yesterday against Sioux Falls Post 15 East. They took care of business in Game 1. Got a little hairy there for a second, but showed some really good resolve there in the 5th and 6th innings for a little added insurance. Game 2, not as kind, but we'll talk about that as well. SDGA Junior Tour, that was in Watertown yesterday. And one of the hottest teams in all of baseball, they go down to your Minnesota Twins yesterday, 8-1. So Twins off to a good start against the Chicago Cubs. He's Matt McClure. We call him the Cobra. Go ahead and toss this thing skyward for the jump on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. Again, smash that like button, share the stream. Certainly helps out with the algorithm as well. And oh, by the way, would it encourage you to share the stream, or not the stream, but the post that we just had here on our Facebook page here, I think it was yesterday. We've added a couple extra games for our high school football season schedule. And I want to say the first game, Matt, is, I want to say it's August 22nd, if I'm just doing it from good old-fashioned memory.
Yep.
And it is indeed. So we are about a month and a quarter away from game day, if you can believe it. August the 22nd, Warner against Castlewood there, just down south on 281.
Yeah, make sure to check it out, Facebook post and the full schedule on HubCityRadio.com. I was talking to Cy yesterday before the Smitty's game, and I was like, hey, can you believe that we're going to be having football season here in the not-too-distant future in about a month and change? And he's like, yeah, it's kind of creeping on us. He said, summer's flying by, so next month is football season. I can't wait.
I'm right there with you. 44 days away from kickoff there for us here at Hub City Radio. Looking forward to that. And sounds like you're going to be picking up a couple select games as well this fall when Ron Colley is either off, or maybe we can take a feed for a game, like that Milbank game, I think in mid-October or something like that. I got to double-check the schedule.
They have the opening game against Clark, and then they have a
Thursday
a bye.
Yeah.
They have that bye over the 29th. So I'll be picking up a game there. And then, one, they play a Thursday game against Miller at home. So we'll have another Friday game I'll be doing there, rural coverage, that is. So that's kind of – and then, like you said, at the end of the year, they play Milbank. And depending on if we take a feed or not, I'll have another game there.
All right, looking forward to it. That will be here before you know it, 44 days away from kickoff for the high school footballers out there. And we are – getting closer and closer to the Hall of Fame game. I know people are waiting with bated breath about that, but I will tell you the football stories are really starting to percolate quite a bit on my social media feed, my X feed. And this morning, the Washington Commanders, they just posted their new alternate uniforms. It's basically the Washington Redskins jerseys from back in the day, minus the helmet with a different, just a different logo, different decal there, and they look pretty clean. And I got to thinking, Matt, I really did. Can you name one NFL team that's done a rebrand or created a new jersey, a new concept, that's been better than the old ones? And I'm talking within the last, you know, probably 25 years, give or take. You know, you've seen a lot of teams that have kind of changed. Of course, the Buccaneers, they changed theirs. The Seahawks, they changed theirs. Washington, they changed theirs. I mean, you got your standards, the Bears and the Packers and, you know, some of those teams. But, you know, there's some changes here and there. Can you think of any team from, let's say, the 90s to right now, and you're like, man, I really like what they have now better than what they had in, say, the 90s or something like that?
This might be a hot take. I kind of like what the Chargers have now.
Okay.
I do like those jerseys. I did like the old school ones, but I don't hate the new Chargers jerseys at all. They got the I like the light blue ones with the yellow pants.
Yep.
And then I like the all dark blue. I'm a fan of those as well. So I'd probably say the Chargers for me. I was going to throw the Jets out there, the new ones. I don't hate those either. But those are my two, I think.
And I think, ironically enough, those are jerseys that are back from the 70s.
Are they really?
Yeah. I mean, the Jets now with just kind of the Jets written in there and kind of that lighter green.
Yeah.
No, those are back from the Joe Ryan days. And Ken O'Brien was their quarterback. And Freeman McNeil. So those are old school jerseys from the 80s. I know your pops is probably listening like, yeah, I remember those guys. And who was the other one you said there?
The Chargers.
The Chargers. Same thing. Those are their old school jerseys from way back in the day there too. So the modern look. Hey, look at this new rebrand, like the Broncos one. I look at the Broncos.
The Broncos one stinks.
Yeah, from the late 90s into the early 2000s when Elway was kind of getting on the back nine and Terrell Davis and those guys, when they actually started winning Super Bowls, I'm like, man, you went away from the Orange Crush and what they had. I look at the jerseys nowadays, I'm like, I think they did it better back in the 90s.
No doubt about it. I do like that the Commanders are going back to that Redskins look. Mm-hmm. I think it's just a clean look. I was seeing comments on those jerseys. They're bringing them back three times this year, I saw.
Once against the Seahawks, yeah.
Yeah, once again, yeah. So they're bringing them back three times, and the comments were like, hey, we need to make these full-time. So I love how you see these new jerseys come out, and they go back to the old-school ones. And everybody's like, hey, they got to make these the full-time jerseys. It cracks me up when I see those.
Yeah, these things kind of happen in cycles. It's like every 15, 20 years, it's a new jersey cycle. We got to start up a new one. Kind of interesting how that works out. Also, this popped up on my social media feed. I thought it was quite interesting. The Arizona Cardinals, they're offering fans the opportunity to travel road games with the team. Starts at $2,500. It's going to be a team-chartered flight with hotel accommodations, full transportation, tailgates hosted by some greats there from the team back in the day, in addition to lower level tickets. $2,500. It says games. I don't know if that's three games. I don't know if it's six. I don't know if it's the whole road season. They don't say, but $2,500. Obviously, you're a big Ravens fan. Would you pop for that or just say, you know what? I like my living room and I'll watch it on TV instead.
I think I'm going for the living room there for that one. It could be a pretty cool experience if you have kids and they're a big football fan or a big Arizona Cardinals fan. Then I could see somebody doing that as like a road trip, like a family vacation type thing. Speaking of bad jerseys, by the way, the new Cardinals jerseys I'm not a fan of.
Not great.
But back to this. Yeah, if I had a family maybe and like kids that were huge Arizona Cardinals fans, I'd think about it. But for me, no.
I'm just kind of chuckling to myself. You say huge Arizona Cardinals fans. Well, like all eight of them.
Yeah.
You know, and across the whole country. I mean, I don't know. It's just one of those teams that just doesn't get a whole lot of love down there. And I think part of the reason is the teams just haven't really been consistently that great anyway. But I will say, I did pick up my latest installment of the Lindy's magazine, the NFL preview. They had the Cardinals at second in the NFC West.
Wow.
I was like, do they know something that I don't? And maybe they will be. Maybe they'll be a great team and complete sleeper. But I'm like, Cardinals, second, NFC West, I don't see it happening.
I don't think it. They're just not consistent enough.
No.
They'll go on a good four-week stretch where you're saying to yourself, hey, this team could win the division. And then they'll go the next 3 weeks and they won't do anything. They're just up-and-down type team. They could get hot, but it seems to me they get hot either early on in the season or in the middle. And then by the end of the season, they just dip and they can't get it done. So I'm with you. That's surprising. I'd say with Kyler Murray quarterback, they're an 8-9, 9-8 type of football team. I think 9-8, 10-7 would be a really good year for them.
Yeah, I think that's a very, very, very sound take. Not a hot take, although it is hot in Arizona. I'd say yeah, they got 8-9, 9-8 written all over them. I think 10-7's probably their ceiling, but I'm seeing all these other posts. Look at how Marvin Harrison's so jacked and this and that. I'm like, yeah, but he also has Kyler Murray throwing it to him. He's okay. He's not great. He's not terrible. He's just a middle-of-the-road guy.
Yeah, he'll have his games where he looks unstoppable.
Yeah.
And, you know, you'll hear
the newest Call of Duty comes out, then the next thing you know, he throws four picks.
Exactly. You'll see his name in the MVP conversation at some point this year, early on, like October. They're going to go on a 3-0 stretch, and he's going to play well, and people are going to throw his name out there as a sleeper MVP candidate. You're going to hear that with Kyler Murray, but I think they got some pieces, but I'm not sold on them at all.
Right there with you. Coming up next on the show, Wade Royer. He'll join us live in studio after this. It's the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. He's the Cobra, I'm Tukes, and joined in studio, Wade Royer, head coach of the Northern State University track and field pole vaulting squad, if that's the way,
yeah,
right,
perfect,
way to describe it, for sure. And thanks for popping in studio this morning. How are
you? Thanks for having me, guys. I'm doing good right now.
Good to have you. I'll tell you what, we are talking off the air about just this sport in general in pole vault, and you've got a very, very fun event coming up here at the end of the month. But How did you get into pole vault? I'm curious. I mean, this is something that it's not natural. You're talking about jumping up in the air 16 feet with a pole. It's just, it's one of those things. You got to have some chutzpah to do it.
Yeah. Back in the day, my brother did it. That's kind of eventually what got me into it. I mean, I was not a pole vaulter by any means. No one expected me to do well, but I think through the grit and the grime and you work your butt off, you acquire it. And yeah, just learned how to do it, kind of took the time to research it. And I think that's a lot of what made me stand out, is I was able to put that time in and look into it. But yeah, my brother eventually got me into it. I turned out to be decent at it after my junior year, so stuck with it and came to Northern. So
what really clicked for you? Was it just do you remember a specific jump or something like that where you were like, wow, you said, hey, I got pretty decent at it. Obviously you worked at it, but was there a moment where you were like, wow, I can really do something here with this?
For me, no, honestly, I was such a slow, I think I was slow into it. Each year I progressed a little bit, but I think going into my sophomore to my senior year, I increased by 2 foot just by that. I mean, I think you're going through some growing stages at that time, but, no, it wasn't really big for me. I mean, it was a slow roll the whole time. Some of these kids that are coming in, they're already jumping 14 feet by their sophomore year. I don't understand that. But, no, it was just slow. And I think having records to chase in my small town was something to go after. And I think just chipping away at it, I think that's kind of what it was. So
where are you from originally then?
Murdo, South Dakota. Jones County High School.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, I know Skyler Miller, he was out there. He used to play linebacker for Presentation back in the day. Stood up for him in his wedding. So big shout out to Jones County for sure. Murdo, I drive past it all the time whenever we go out west there on I-90.
Yep.
And just a quick little skip and a jump. So
the big green car, that's what I got to say every single time, and everyone knows it. So
nice, good stuff. You weren't ever afraid of heights? I mean, we're talking off the air. That's one thing I don't futz around with at all. But
the funny thing is I am a little afraid of heights. I mean, I get used to it. I used to build wind turbines back in the day, and you get used to it. But, vaulting, I think I just, like I said, it was such a slow roll into it. You just kind of get used to the height. But, yeah, initially, if I'm up on something, I'm questioning myself. But I think you get used to it, so.
Yeah, you talked about like looking at like records or something when you grew up in a small town. We've had swimming coaches on, and they've talked about that as well. Like going into a season, they would look at like a goal sheet and be like, hey, why can't I do something like that? Is that just the sport that is pole vault and individual sports like that?
I think most sports are like that, but then I think you also have that, hey, I want to beat my own self as well. You know, I mean, in Jones County at the time, I mean, the record was 12-6. In the state level, that was okay. That was pretty high average for Class B at that time. But I got that my sophomore year by a foot, or junior year by a foot. And then it's like, now what? And I mean, and then it was like, oh, state meet record. So, but once I got to college, yeah, I had that record that was just out of sight to really push for, ended up getting it. But yeah, I mean, I think it is the record things that help keep people pushing, but you also have that own, you got to have that own perseverance and want to get better constantly. So.
Wade Royer joining us live in studio, Fox Sports Everdeen. We're going to talk about the event coming up here at the end of the month, or at least your travel anyway.
Yeah.
But I'm also just curious, was it always pole vault? Or are you thinking football, baseball, basketball too? Or is it just kind of, hey, this is one thing I turned out to be pretty good at, and you just kind of stuck with that?
To make a long story short, yeah, after sophomore year, it turned in straight to pole vault just because I was so close. I had a big class, and boys class in my class, and a lot of them were real good athletes, so I just kind of, pole vault was the best thing I was the best thing at that time. So junior year, I just stuck with it, and yeah, turned out to be right choice, I would say.
Sure. Was it always coaching after as well? When you wrapped up, did you want to coach right away? You know, some people, they got to get away from it.
Yeah, no, I definitely got away for 3 years, completely forgot about the sport, and then actually another local guy, Cody Hageman, he was coaching at the time. He asked me if I wanted to coach, so I said, yeah, I would. And Then I got back into my nerdy pole vault self, constantly watching pole vault, trying to learn on the sport constantly. And yeah, got back into it. And then it's been history since. So
when you're watching film, you know, we talk about that all the time with football coaches. You know, you can see what a safety does. If the safety cheats this way, you're going to throw that way or whatever. When it comes to pole vaulting film, you know, is there a lot of film that goes into that, or is it just mainly kind of a feel thing? I mean, how do you kind of unpack that?
So actually, yeah, every vaulter is different. I say the same cue to some kids, and then I say a completely opposite cue to another kid. But it's just trying to get that kid to do the right thing in the physics aspect of it. But yeah, film is massive because your eye can only see so fast, and you're trying to squeak out 1% just to make a 6-inch difference on a vault, you know? But yeah, film everything, catalog everything, show it to the kids so they see what they're doing, because yeah, they got to see what they're feeling and feel what they're seeing, type of thing, if that makes sense to you guys. But yeah, so yeah, just making sure you're lining up the feels with what it's supposed to look like. That's the biggest thing.
And when you're watching the film, do you see a lot of the tendencies, like, hey, we got to change this with your footwork or something like that?
Yeah, there was a kid a couple years ago, we could not figure him out. And I don't know what it was. I think it just a break, summer break, and then coming back and looking at it, and his grip was, he was over. So every time he hit, Noah Ford, if you're listening, that's a shout out there. But his hand was over gripped, and he was over top, and his wrist wasn't straight, and that caused a lot of issues. It was rotating, the poles rotating in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it just caused a lot of issues, and just, I never saw it until you see it in film, and you're like, holy heck. Once you see it, then you don't unsee it, and you got to try to get it fixed, and it's just not it's uncomfortable for him, lowering his confidence in the vault, and then me just trying to get it sorted and trying to get him confident in it. So
I'm also just curious, as Wade Royer joins us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, have you approached a student athlete in like football or basketball or another sport, or maybe even just a student, and you're like, hey, you know, I think you'd be really interested in this, wanted to give it a shot, and they turn out to be somebody that's pretty decent at it? Have you ever done that at some point in time at your time?
Yeah, I always try to get pretty fast basketball players because I have that leaping ability and then the height. I always think basketball players would be pretty solid at it. But yeah, we have other kids in our track that do it. Jeff Boshi, he's a freshman standout this year. I think you guys had him on once. High jumper. He actually jumped 14 feet his first year vaulting. That takes the number one spot as a true freshman learning to vault, nothing to competing. He actually placed the outdoor conference as a pole vaulter. So kind of wild situation. But, yeah, do it quite often because South Dakota, obviously you have basketball and football as kind of the main tier sports, and then track just kind of falls off. And then pole vault in South Dakota is usually you get the leftovers. You get the sprinters and the 400s, the 100s, the field events, long jump. But pole vault's kind of always over in its own corner, and you get the leftovers. So a lot of those kids miss that opportunity, and that correct build is usually wrapped up in basketball and football. So, yeah.
I'm just curious, how much is of pole vaulting, is in your opinion, is like muscle memory? Is it a lot?
All of it, because when you actually do vault, I mean, me back in the day when I was vaulting well, if I was in practice, I could find my cues, but when I was vaulting and I was vaulting good, I blacked out. Sam says, like, your fluid state, I think it is. Or your
flow state.
Your flow state, that's yep. What he says, yeah. So you got to get in that flow state, and once you get in that flow state, I mean, it's all muscle memory. So, but if you don't know what it feels like, you don't know how to do it.
And when you were talking about you were dealing with the curl.
The curl, yeah.
Yeah, wrist curled over. I mean, you had to change that, so that probably took some time to get used to that.
Yeah,
right?
And then you get cautious of it.
Yeah.
I mean, just I just had a kind of an exit or a end of the year interview with one of my athletes, Gracie, and she's going to be popping well as soon as she gets over her injury. But that was something I kind of asked her. I was like, hey, like, what do you think it was? And it was, she just said repetition and confidence. But, like, that's what you're saying. You got to get used to it. And until you get used to it, it's not going to feel normal. Your brain's going to be like, hey, I don't know if I like this yet.
But. Yeah, it's kind of reminds me of, like, when you go to, like, a golf lesson or a baseball lesson and you somebody changes your swing.
Yeah.
Yes.
You got to get used to it, and you got to practice it and rep it, you know, the constant repetition, so you get used to it. It sounds like it's the same 100%. With pole vault.
Yeah, and I golf quite a bit too, and I do reference a lot to golf because, yeah, you just got to – it's discipline. Like, you want to do what you used to do, but you can't because that's the old way. We need to vault the new way. But, yeah, it's repetition. You know what? I'm impatient. Kids are impatient. I want to progress those kids as fast as I possibly can, but sometimes you just got to take the slow road. Slow wins are big wins, I think, in pole vault. So,
well, I mean, at the end of the day, and we're going to talk about Sam coming up here in our next segment. I know Matt's got a jet, but, you know, at the end of the day, when they can't quite figure it out, you just chase them down with a 9-iron. You know?
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
It's all good.
Yeah.
Wade Royer,
if I can catch him.
That's fair. Wade Royer joining us here in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen as he's headed across the pond to the UK Championships, the national championships there. We'll talk about that and more coming up next right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen. David Tewksbury joined alongside by our new co-host Wade Royer. You even moved over a seat, so you're in. You're a part of the program now.
Right. We'll see how that goes.
No doubt. Well, it's been fun talking about just the sport of pole vault and what have you. And before we talk about Sam going across the pond with you here, you mentioned something to me off the air. I'm just kind of wondering about is the pole vault or is the pole brands and what have you. You would just think, okay, you know, here's a pole, go for it. But sounds like there's a lot of, for lack of a better term, some of the science that goes into the brand and what feels good, right? Is that fair?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big thing to unpack. But the basic thing is all of them store energy and release energy. It's just how that pole releases it. I would say your biggest thing is, if you're with one brand, stick to one brand. If you're jumping on one brand, they're all going to react the same. Now, if you switch to a different brand, they're going to react a little different. Might mess up timing of your vault. But yeah, that's in the small nutshell, that's what it is. So.
Gotcha. All right, so let's talk about the young buck, Sam Tremelling. Fun guy to have in studio. We've had him on a couple times. He does some play-by-play as well on the NSIC network as well. It's kind of funny. I was doing the Northern basketball games against Dakota State and Dickinson there at the Civic this last year, and I guess they didn't have the equipment or something to pipe in my audio. And they're like, Tukes, did you get like a accent or something? It was Sam that was calling the games.
It was Sam.
It's kind of funny. Does a nice job there too. He's done an incredible job here at Northern State, and he's not done yet, but the UK Championships. Tell us a little bit about this and how he got into it and everything that goes along with it.
So there's a mark you got to hit, and I think it was 5:15 you got to hit, and then you get the official invitation. Sam might know a little bit more about that, but he hit 5:22, which is 17 feet. I think it rounds to 17.2. But yeah, he got the invitation. Middle of June, and we're kind of setting things up to get over there and jump. But yeah, they take the top, whatever, I think, over the qualifying height, and then they all compete over there. So it's kind of how he got into it, and I don't know how his whole other side of things, but yeah, I know you got to jump a height. So
sure, is this a D2 thing, or is this across all levels? How does this kind of shake out?
He will be competing against professional level.
Okay.
So he's close enough right now. I mean, if he continues, he could be, I mean, you could see him as a professional over in European circuit. Now, not necessarily world class yet. Sam, hopefully you will get there, but you're going to have to jump 560, which is probably around 18.4. So he's got a little work to do, but he's definitely capable of it. He's definitely on the way. This is completely separate. This is more of a professional, semi-pro type of thing. So.
Gotcha. I understand. So let's talk about his journey here a little bit at Northern State, and a very fun visit with him when he was in studio with us here a couple months ago. And he said it wasn't always easy. You know, you see the result on Facebook or any platform that you see the videos on, and you're like, wow, you know, how did he do it? But you don't see some of the struggle behind it. And he was very open and honest about it. Can you kind of talk about his maturation process for him to get where he's at right now?
He came in as a, for us Americans, 14-4 guy, 14-4, we'll just say. And then he, I think, across the pond, he wasn't doing what he needed to fully down the runway, full speed. I mean, that kid, when I first saw him, I wasn't too overly excited about him. I didn't think he was the fastest kid in the world. I didn't think he had the capabilities going 16+. As he got over here, he started training. He showed some real potential and speed. And pole vault is all based off of speed. If you can run fast, you're basically jumping high because it's energy in, energy out. He grew fast. In that freshman year, he basically PR'd every single indoor meet. That's 8 meets in a row. And then outdoor, he put up some professional records almost every single time as well. He moved fast. He went from 14-4 to, I think it was 15-9 his freshman year. His last jump of his freshman season, we got on a big stick for him at the time. He didn't execute what he needed to do. Ended up short, kind of did the same thing. Got his feet stuck in the bar, came down, rolled an ankle, actually sprained it pretty good. And then we had to send him across the pond in crutches and a boot. I think that kind of stirred the big mental side of things. And once he got that mental side of things, sophomore year is a struggle. Every time we got to that pole, he didn't want to jump on it. Understand, I get frustrated because I don't understand it. He gets frustrated because he can't do it. Then coming into junior year, we still got to that pole. I mean, the kid needed to be on that pole. So right now, he's actually one pole. He starts one pole bigger than that mental pole, that pole that he could not get over top of and jump on. He now starts higher than that pole as a warm-up. So, yeah, he's grown a lot. But, yeah, it was that mental block. And then I think we hit 506, 16-6 last year indoor. That started the ball rolling. And then this year it just Eli Radke, my other vaulter, jumping up close to that 16-6 as well, kind of started pushing him, beating him from the short approach. And I think that really bugged him. And it pulls a person out. Like, hey, if you want to be top dog, you better step up. And I think that, and I might be speaking wrongly about that, but from a coach's side, I think that really helped Sam get over what he needed to get over. So
I think that's one thing about sports, and I think sports fans in general would say we love the overcoming adversity story, whether it's in basketball or football or golf, or like Tiger Woods, his comeback story. How cool was that with him winning the Masters? And it's the same thing in pole vault. You know, when you're overcoming adversity, be it physically or mentally, and you're a champion and you do things at a really, really high level, that's what makes sports great. I mean, do you kind of feel that too? And just
100%. And actually, I love Sam to death and everything, but like all these other kids, like Eli, Gracie, Romain, Becca, all my other kids too. I mean, I almost like the underdogs more because they're coming in and they're building such a success. And yeah, they might not be up there where like all my top kids are, but you know what? They're growing. Eli came in as a 13-6 vaulter. He's jumping 16-6. I mean, that's a 3-foot PR. Just in college, Sam was 14-4, now at 17-2. He actually has less of a PR growth in college than Eli does. But those are the big things. And Eli will pop. I think Eli's capable of getting up there around that 17 as well, maybe a little higher. But yeah, it's just timing. But yeah, and actually when Sam jumped 17-2 at Nationals, I just laughed because the first text from my wife was, "You better not be crying." And yeah, I was crying. Yeah. So made me tear up a little bit. I was happy for the kid. He overcame such a huge obstacle. And you see that. You kind of see that. That's why you coach. So,
no doubt about it. This is a dumb question, but you mentioned that he probably wasn't as fast as maybe he could have been. How does one get faster, you know, just in general, whether, you know, you're talking about any sport, you know, how does one just get faster?
Training, technique. And I think on Sam's side, I think he was vaulting to vault high on a pole. They were, gosh, I think the pole that he has back home, he could probably get on from a three left approach, which is like a third of the approach. So like six steps, he could probably get on that same pole back over in Europe. But yeah, I think he, back in his high school days, he's vaulting to basically jump high on this pole. Now for him, that would probably have to reduce speed, because if you have too much energy, you're going to be too deep. It's going to throw you deep instead of up. So, for him, I think having bigger poles just to run, but, no, training is going to be the way to get faster, regardless, off the runway, or on the track, and then learning form and strength. And he's gotten big into the strength now. And yeah, because he never lifted weights over there. So
I don't lift weights here. Probably should start. Our guest in studio is Wade Royer here. We're talking about the UK Championships across the pond. It's coming up at the very end of July, very early stages of August. These trips are not cheap. They're not, you know, something that just, hey, come on over and, you know, we'll pay for everything. How do you kind of fundraise a little bit about that, and how do people chip in?
Yeah, well, they can always contact Lynn Dingman, head coach, and say they want to help to the cause. But yeah, just to get Sam and his poles over there, flights and just carrying the poles over there was $1,700 total. But that's not including hotels and getting me over there as well. But yeah, it's not cheap. If they want to help out, anybody wants to help out, we're going to have hopefully a street vault here on the Downtown Concert Series July 24th. We're going to do a little vaulting down there. Sam's going to exhibition, kind of showcase. We're going to have maybe a donation box there. So you guys can, anybody wants to throw in there, welcome to help. So.
Yeah, $5, $10, $20. If they want to write a check for $1,000, hey, that's great. You know, you'll take it all for sure.
Yeah.
So that's coming up here in a couple weeks, and that'll be, I think, the final Downtown Concert Series of the summer there too. How do people tune in? You know, is this something that's live streamed? Is this on like YouTube or something like that? Or
we're still ironing out the details right now, but I think we're gonna try to get set up around two and then kind of get rolling. But yeah, they can just stop down after work and start watching. Or if you're there a little early, go ahead and start watching too. But down at the Market Plaza.
No, I'm talking across the pond.
Across the pond.
Yeah, is this like broadcast?
This will
somewhere?
Be broadcasted. Great question. I don't know actually all those details. It will be TV broadcasted over there. You might be able to find it over here. Might be rare, but you might be able to find some. Sam might know a little bit more, and we can always keep you guys updated too.
For sure, and we'll
Northern webpage, track and field webpage, Northern State Track and Field Instagram, our pole vault Instagram as well, NSU_pole vault. You can follow it there probably too.
For sure. So. Maybe a couple more before we get you out of here. And again, thanks for taking some time and joining us. What are you looking forward to the most going over there? I mean, obviously some fellowship and camaraderie going there with Sam, I'm sure it's going to be a lot of fun. But what are you looking forward to the most with your trip over there with him?
Sharing the experience. That kid seems to show up whenever it's needed, especially at big meets. So this is a big meet. Hopefully he's ready for it. He's actually had better competition at Nationals than he has at the UK champs, but yeah, hopefully go over there and seize the day and has fun with it. I think that's the biggest thing. Share time with it. Hopefully you can get a medal. If he jumps 5:22, maybe a little higher than that, he's more than capable of it. Yeah, it'll be fun, but just just experience it. Have fun with him.
And this is not your first time over across the pond. No. You've done this before. Can you kind of talk to us a little bit about what the atmosphere is like and what your experience is like over there?
So the other time I went was with Glenn Quayle. He was an Isle of Man kid, but he got over for the Commonwealth Games. That's a little bit bigger situation. There was 30-some thousand spectators. This will be a little bit lower. I don't think they have the grandstands expanded, yeah, I bet there'll be 15,000 plus there having fun. The first time was absolutely amazing. Glenn did really well. He was our past record holder. Now Sam's got both records on that. So the experience should be pretty good, just as equivalent. The Europe side of things really know how to do track. So,
no doubt. Final comments, final thoughts before we get you out of here. What's kind of on your mind? And I guess final parting words, I suppose.
Let's have fun. I mean, Sam, it's first time you've been there, so let's keep her up and follow us at NSU_polevault on Instagram. We have a lot of fun over there. So,
all right, looking forward to it there. And again, mark your calendars for a couple weeks. Summer Downtown Concert Association there, the Summer Downtown Concert Series with the ADA, and opportunities to donate and gain some money there for Sam and Coach Royer here. And looking forward to that here in the not-too-distant future. Thanks again for taking some time out of your schedule and joining us, and
no
good
problem.
Luck with the whole thing.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. It's our pleasure. Wade Royer here in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen. We'll come on back, talk some Smitties, and wrap up this Wednesday installment of The Hub after this. Fun discussion there with Wade Royer here in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen, and kind of talking off the air about the whole event. And you know, he's running some math by me, and I'm thinking to myself, oh boy, this is a little advanced for me for sure, but looking forward to it here in the not too distant future, and trying to raise as much money for Sam and Coach Royer there to head across the pond there at the very, very end of July, very early August, and looking forward to it. That event in and of itself, the UK Championships, should be a lot of fun to follow that, and check them out on Instagram there too. So our thanks to Coach Royer for joining us here live in studio right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen 1420 and 98.5. As for the Aberdeen Smitties, yesterday you had Matt McClure filling in for Ryan Martin over on our website, hubcityradio.com, and on the Fox Sports Aberdeen YouTube page. And like I said earlier in the two-minute sports update this morning, I know the 4th of July, of course, was this last weekend, but the fireworks were fast and furious yesterday out at Fossum Field. 45 runs over the course of that Tuesday twin bill. Aberdeen took game one 15-9 in a shootout. Sioux Falls, they returned the favor, taking game two from the Smitties 18-3 in a five-inning affair. Bennett Eisenbeiss, pretty solid on the hill. Three innings pitch, scattering five hits. Four runs, three of them were earned. Lance Sifkin was outstanding at the dish. 2-for-4 with a run scored, four runs batted in, as the Smitties really did an outstanding job just spreading the wealth offensively, as J.L. Avilas also drove in four. Six other Smitties players drove in at least one run in that six-run victory. Smitties got up big early. They led, I believe it was 10-2 at one point, or make it 9-2 at one point in time there after about two innings. And then Sioux Falls post 15, they just kind of chipped away. 10-9 was the deficit there for them going into the fourth, but Smitty's the Aberdeen squad, I should say, helping out with a little insurance there in the fifth and the sixth innings there too. So good stuff there in game one. Game a little bit of a different story, as it was all Sioux Falls post 15 East in game two, 18-3. Your final score there. Smitties will travel east to the Gopher Classic this upcoming weekend for four games. Schedule pending, and I say schedule pending because in the postgame show, Matt McClure was catching up with head coach Nathan Ganelli, and he was saying, well, we're supposed to play five games, then a team dropped out, so now it's down to four games. Maybe they add another team. We'll have to wait and see. He said the schedule was already changing twice yesterday, so keep our eyes posted to that via the GC app, Game Changer app, and wishing them the very best of luck out east. And, of course, Smitty's Baseball presented by Culver's of Aberdeen. SDGA Junior Tour was in Watertown yesterday. Check out our website for more details. And the Twins, they get off to a good start in their series with the Cubs. 8-1, your final score there. And they're back in action tonight at 6:40. We're back in action tomorrow at 10 a.m. on FSA.